knew of the Nortons for several years now, but of course his Mrs. Norton is from down here in Carterville, where Brother Dawson was the pastor, and her brother is still in the church there. In fact, next year, if we're all here, Lord willing, and out up in heaven with the Lord, her sister's husband is coming here to preach. He is a pastor of Capital City Baptist Church in Austin, Texas, Adam Thompson, who was a missionary in Mexico for a while, and now his daddy, Hank Thompson, the brothers we've prayed for, Caleb and Joshua, dad's in heaven now, and Adam came and has taken the church for several years, and so he is married to Lynn's sister, and they'll be here with us next year. Looking forward to that. But it's just a blessing to have the Nortons here, their faithfulness now for these many years, Colombia, Argentina, and Mexico, just faithfully serving. We'll be glad to hear from him tonight, and Mrs. Deal is going to come sing for us. And so after she's done, give your undivided attention this way, and we'll have a good service tonight.
Bibles to the book of 2 Kings chapter 4. I want to take just a moment and say thank you, a big thank you for all that you've done in our time here in the Missions Conference. What a great spirit here in the church, also in the school. We've enjoyed our time. We're leaving in the morning. And so I just want to take a moment to just say thank you from the bottom of our heart, all that you've done for us. Thank you again for the hotel room, for the food, for the fellowship, and just for the refreshing time that we spent here. Every time I go to a church, I observe a lot, see what's going on differently, and I look to get different ideas because when I go back, I want to implement some of those ideas and things that I've learned in different churches. Somebody can always learn. We can always learn. Amen? All right. Now I need to say something real quick before we get started. Most of the time when I preach, almost all the time, I preach in Spanish and I pray in Spanish. I do speak English. I'm from Washington, D.C., but I do speak English, okay? I remember calling a preacher out in Washington State when I was on deputation. He said, "Brother Norton, where are you from?" And I said, "From D.C." He said, "Can any good thing come out of Washington?" And, of course, I use that to, well, give me an opportunity to come to your church and we'll see. but I do have, this is a blessing, I do have notes in English. I preach lots of times, when I do preach in English, lots of times that I've done it, I preach with notes in Spanish. Now, my brother-in-law that's going to be here next year, he did the exact opposite. He would have his notes in English and preach in Spanish. And now our sister, she sings in English and Spanish up here, and I come to the pulpit and I'm, okay, what language is it? But we're gonna do this thing in English, okay? What a privilege it is to be here. I appreciate it. Pastor, thank you for the opportunity. I appreciate it, the opportunity to be here, to be with you. But if you found 2 Kings chapter number 4, remain seated. I'm going to read, verses 1 through 7. Last night in Spanish church, I preached in from chapter 3. And tonight, God's led me to preach from chapter 4. Now, some of you already have looked at the passage of Scripture and you think, "Whoa, okay, yeah, I know this story." Hang on just a moment, okay? Just hang with me. And let's see what God has for us this evening. The Bible says here in 2 Kings 4, verse 1, "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, 'Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen.' And Elisha said unto her, 'What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house?' And she said, 'Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil.' Then he said, 'Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full.' So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, 'Bring me yet a vessel.' And he said unto her, 'There is not a vessel more.' And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, 'Go, sell the oil, and pay the debt, and live thou and thy children on the rest.'" Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you. And I do thank you for the opportunity to preach your word. Father, I pray that you fill me with the power of the Holy Spirit, that you'd hide me behind this pulpit. And Father, that what is said tonight would be for the edification of the saints. Encourage us, Father. Help us. Give us a vision of a lost and dying world. Help us to realize that you are faithful. You are a faithful God. And might we trust upon you, and might we be lights where we are, and might we send the light around the world. Father, if there's someone lost here this evening, I pray they be saved. Encourage our hearts and strengthen us and challenge us to do more for the cause of Christ, for missions. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The work of missions has to do with our faith in God and with what He would have us to do concerning the work of evangelizing the world, or as some call it, world evangelization. The Bible is clear that the will of God is that the lost would be saved. That is to say that the lost would come to a realization of their need for a Savior, that Jesus is the only Savior, and that they would receive Him as their personal Savior. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, "For this is a good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." When it is missions conference time, or when a missionary comes in to present the work that the Lord has called him to do, or when a work of world evangelization is being emphasized, we need to understand that it is an opportunity to know the heart of God better. God is interested in lost souls around the world. It's an opportunity to know the heart of God better. It's also an opportunity to know the will of God for each one of us. How much God wants each one of us to give to missions, let's say monthly. Or if God wants us to go to the mission field. It's also a time to know the will of God for us as a church. How much God wants us to give to world evangelization on a monthly basis. As a pastor, I am a missionary, but when I go home, they don't say missionary Guillermo. It's Pastor Norton or Pastor Guillermo. I'm known as their pastor. I am their pastor. And as a pastor, I preach missions. As a pastor, we keep missions before the church. As a pastor, we have missionaries come in. In November, we're going to have our missions conference. It's important that all of us have the heart of God in mind, and we know that God wants to save lost sinners. This is usually called a faith promise offering or a missions offering. Call it what you will. What is important is that we seek the face of God and then that we fulfill our responsibility as a church to support financially and prayerfully the work of God, that is missions or the Great Commission. Something that we did in our church as missionaries, we have prayer cards. What we did in our church, we took all the missionaries that we support and we have a 4x6 prayer card or a prayer list. We have a small picture of each missionary family that we support, the name of the family, where they're at, and then the name of each individual, the husband, the wife, and their children. And so in this 4x6 card, someone can pray for the missionaries that we support. Faith, promise, missions, giving is getting close to the heart of God. Okay, think about this. Let's return to our text. And what an interesting text it is. As we put ourselves in the poor widow's shoes, we have a strong urging to shed some tears. Let me say something real quick before we go on. The story that we're studying tonight has to do with real people. This widow woman and her two sons and the creditor and Elisha, they were real people that lived here on this earth. This is not something that's made up or make-believe. These are real people that had real needs, that had real problems. When we put ourselves in the poor widow's shoes, we have a strong urging to shed some tears. She stands before an impossible situation. And that's not all. She has been given an impossible mission. Pay a debt when she has almost nothing. And here is where we want to start the message. I would like to invite you to join me as we take a little, or should I say long trip, to the poor widow woman's house to see how our story unfolds. It is my prayer that the Word of God would open our understanding, encourage our spirits, and revive our hearts so that the gospel of Christ, which is the power of God, which is still the power of God, would be disseminated here where we are and also to the ends of the world. First of all, let's think about her situation. We see that in verse 1, her husband died and left her a debt. Now, this is not the message, but is worth mentioning. We need to learn to hate debt. Just a few amens, amen. We need to learn to hate debt. I remember when I was 16 years old, I got a loan for $1,600 to buy my very first car. Matter of fact, I was 15 when I got the loan. My dad helped me. And after a little while, I had to pay a payment. It was like $140 a month. And I went into my dad's room and I said, Dad, I owe $140 every month. Dad, what do I do? My dad says, son, if you're having trouble paying $140 a month, what are you going to do when you buy a house? But we need to learn to hate debt. There's a problem here because of debt. And the creditor has come. It's not, and the comforter has come, the comforter. And the creditor has come. And he's come looking for what he is owed, threatening to take her two sons to be bondmen. And an interesting note here is that the widow woman knew where to go for guidance. She knew to go to the man of God for guidance. She had a problem. She had a situation, didn't know what to do, but she goes to the man of God. And wouldn't it be interesting if we would do the same thing? Go to the man of God who bows his knee before God in praise, lifts up our names before God to go to him for guidance and counsel. She knew where to go. She went to the man of God for guidance. In verse number 2, we see that she has a problem, a serious problem. She has a creditor that is determined to get what he's owed. She has two sons that are concerned that they are going to be taken from their mother. Are you with me tonight? A widow woman that has a serious problem. Her two sons thinking, we're here with mom right now, but this could be the last night. The creditor could come at any time. So the prophet asked her, what hast thou in the house? Now, everything starts with what one has, but it does not stop there. The same is true concerning the Faith Promise Missions offering. It starts with what we have, but it does not stop there. Understand that when it is preached that we all need to give to missions, give a missions offering, a faith promise offering, it starts with what we have, but it does not, I repeat, it does not end there. God can bless us and multiply what we have so that what we have is much more and does much more. The widow tells the prophet that she has a pot of oil. Now, this emphasizes the seriousness of her situation. And even the way it's worded emphasizes the fact that she has nothing save a pot of oil. She couldn't pay her debt because she didn't have the withal to pay it. She confesses to Elisha that she has a pot of oil. What she has would be used by God and blessed by God and multiplied by God to do what she could not do. Remember, it starts with what we have. She has a pot of oil. Now, don't forget that. We've seen her situation and what she has. Now, let us look at verse 3 and 4. Then he said, go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors. Even empty vessels borrow not a few. And when thou art to come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. Okay. Go, borrow, pour out. Go, borrow, pour out. Go, borrow, pour out. Not difficult, right? But she doesn't have anything. Go, borrow, pour out. I would like to point out some interesting things here. Elisha told her to borrow. Are you with me? To borrow. Elisha told her to borrow of all thy neighbors. Okay. Now I would like to remind you of a couple things and how they could affect our story. She was a poor widow. Her neighbors knew she was a poor widow. Knowing that she was a poor widow, who would want to let her borrow vessels? Knowing that if anything were to happen to them, she would have no way of paying them back. Think about when people borrow stuff from you. Okay, I want it back tomorrow, just like it is, in the condition that it's in. And she borrows the vessel, she walks away, and it slips out of her hand and breaks. And she has no way, if something happens to the vessel, whatever one of the vessels, she has no way of replacing it. The neighbors know her. They know she's a widow. They know she doesn't have anything. Also, it's notable that so far, no one had offered to help her. And we should point out that she was commanded to borrow empty vessels. She's not going and asking for a vessel full of oil. Empty vessels. Okay, humanly speaking, understand that please. Humanly speaking, the craziness continues. Humanly speaking. And this is going to become very interesting. Let us take a peek inside the widow's house. She and her sons go into the house and they shut the door behind them. The three of them are looking at the many empty vessels that they had borrowed. The many borrowed in empty vessels. And what does she have? Pot of oil. The poor widow grabs her pot of oil, holds it up in her right hand. In her mind, she hears the words that Elisha said unto her, "Thou shalt pour out into all those vessels." Think about it. I don't know if you're seeing what I see. I don't know if you're thinking about what I'm thinking. But I have to ask myself, pour what out into all those vessels? There's all these vessels here, and she has her pot of oil. Okay, pour out into those vessels, and one is full, set it aside, and then get another one. The mathematics here just don't make sense. The widow continues to hear the words that the prophet had said unto her, "Thou shalt set aside that which is full." That is interesting. She has a pot of oil and a whole bunch of empty vessels. But she has been commanded to pour out into the empty vessels and one at a time set aside that which is full. We need to point out that Elisha did not give her any more information than what we've already seen. That's all she knew to do. He did not give her details as to what was going to happen. As a matter of fact, he didn't even tell her what was going to happen. We don't even know if he knew what would happen. He just told her what she was to do. We see then that the poor widow woman would have to obey the word of God that was pronounced by the prophet of God, in that by doing it, she was acting by faith. It seems that the widow understood that what she was asked to do was, for her, impossible. However, with God, nothing is impossible. An impossible situation, an impossible mission. How in the world are we going to evangelize a world that is so large? Have you ever looked at Google Map or Google Maps? The world is huge. It's an impossible task for us. However, with God, nothing is impossible. Listen, without God in this equation, the only thing that would have happened is that she, the poor widow woman, would have transferred the content of her pot of oil to a barred vessel. End of story. But as we will see, that is not what happened. She acted by faith and obeyed the word of God by faith. And the God of faith blessed her obedient faith by giving her, shall we say, for the sake of application today, her faith promise offering. She gave to God what she had, a pot of oil. And God received it, blessed it, multiplied it, and used it. How many are still with me? Okay. And used it to bless her, her sons, her creditor, and everyone else that bought oil from her. How does this all work? I don't know. I can't explain it all. But how can you put money in an offering plate? A 5, a 10, a 20, a 50, a 100, whatever it is. How can you put that money in an offering plate? It gets deposited in a bank. It gets taken out at an ATM machine in some other country, or in a bank in another country. The missionary takes that. The missionary buys Bibles. The missionary pays the rent of where the church is. The missionary there is preaching the Word of God, has tracts to pass out, has all these different things. People are getting saved. And then in those churches, God calls people to be missionaries and to go to other places. How does that work? Folks, I just have to sit down and say, it's impossible. But I don't have to understand it. I just know it works because God said it would work, and I've seen it work. Give to God your pot of oil, what you have, and God will use it to bless a whole bunch of people. Let's move on. Verse 5 says, "So she went from him." This is exciting. I have a childlike imagination. I'm not a little kid anymore, but I have a childlike imagination. I start to think, man, this is getting interesting, folks. Okay, he tells her, this is what I have. Okay, do this, this, and this, and this. And she went from him. Okay, what's she going to do? This is exciting. She went from him, from Elisha. And she went to all her neighbors, asking them to pray for Elisha, the man of God, because he had gone cuckoo. When the preacher gets up and he preaches, give to God this, and God's going to bless it, and God's going to multiply, and God's going to use it. You leave the church. I think pastor needs a vacation. I think he needs... She didn't do that. Praise God. She didn't do that. She didn't think Elisha was crazy. How strange. It seems we could be wrong, but it seems that Elisha still believed that God could divide the Red Sea. That Jehovah Elohim could still get water from a rock. That the Lord of heaven and earth could still rain down a quail from heaven to the earth. That the Lord God still had power to provide a table in the wilderness. And that God was still the Almighty God. And that His power had not diminished in the least. I say all of this to you because the prophet Elisha, by the word of God, commanded this poor widow to do something that, humanly speaking, seemed crazy because it was something that only the Almighty God could do. For after all, who but God alone could fill a bunch of empty vessels with nothing? The Bible says that she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons. It seems that after she received the commandment from Elisha that she did not return to her house before going to her neighbors to borrow from them empty vessels, as many as she could obtain. Well, however it was, most importantly is that she obeyed and that presently she and her sons are in the house with the door shut, surrounded by a lot of empty vessels. Can you believe that? What, you ask? Well, it seems that she believed the word of God spoken by the prophet Elisha because she acted upon it. And now she and her sons, having obeyed, are in the house with the empty vessels. Praise God, she didn't live in the 21st century. 21st century, many people say, God can't, God can't, God can't, God can't, God can. God can and God will. Imagine the scene in the widow's house. I have to ask myself, was there an excitement in the air? Waiting and expecting God to do something miraculous. Boys, pay attention. This is going to be good. Jehovah God is going to do something wonderful for us, boys. I don't know what He's going to do, nor how He's going to do it. But I have no doubt that we are going to see the hand of God today in our house, boys. The Bible says that her sons brought the vessels unto her. Look, there was nothing here to draw attention unto herself, nothing that would appeal to the flesh. In other words, she was not a pseudo-Pentecostal. Folks, it doesn't get any plainer than that. Okay, what happened? Verse 6, and it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more in the oil stayed. Well, the poor widow woman doesn't hesitate. She obeys the word of God, holding her pot of oil in her right hand. She begins to pour out into the first empty vessel that she had borrowed. Taking them one at a time, she poured from her pot of oil into the first empty vessel that she had borrowed. She fills it up. Everything's great. She's excited. Her boys are excited. I can imagine that in her mind she's hearing over and over the word of God spoken to Elisha. Go, borrow empty vessels, not a few. Enter into your house, shut the door, and pour out into all those vessels and set aside that which is full. She might have said, okay, boys, that's one. Set it aside and bring me another one. This process continues. She pours out oil from her pot into the second empty vessel that she had borrowed. And she might have said to her boys, well, boys, that's two. Set it aside. Bring me another one. Hurry up now. We have a lot of work to do. We have a whole bunch more empty vessels to fill. I can just hear the emotion and the gratitude she has in her voice. She continues until she asks one of her sons for another empty vessel. And one of them says to her, Mom, there is not another empty vessel. Mom, they're full. All of them are full. Wow, Mom. I'm glad we didn't borrow a few. If we had borrowed a few, we wouldn't have all this oil. Mom, I'm glad you went to the man of God for counsel. I'm glad you obeyed the word of the Lord spoken by the prophet. Mom, what a blessing this is. We have all these vessels here full of oil. Imagine the scene inside the poor widow's house. Maybe the widow and her sons were singing the song of Moses found in Exodus 15. I will sing unto the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare Him in a habitation. My Father's God, and I will exalt Him. Now that all those vessels are full, she looks at her two sons and says, boys, grab your coats and bring me my shawl. We're going to the man of God's house. Verse number 7. Then she came and told the man of God. And he said, go sell the oil and pay the debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. Okay, she goes to the man of God. Now, don't get upset with me, all right? She goes to the man of God. Can you hear the emotion, the enthusiasm, and the gratefulness in her voice when she goes back to the man of God? Folks, she's got a house full, not of empty vessels. Yeah. Vessels that are full of oil. But what's she supposed to do? She goes to the man of God. He tells her what to do. Can you hear the emotion and the enthusiasm, the gratefulness in her voice? How long did she take to relate what had happened to Elisha? 10 minutes? Half an hour? An hour? Hey, fellas, we're talking about a woman. Yeah, we go there. You know what? I went and borrowed all those vessels, went to the house, dump. Got a budget. What do I do? Elisha. Elisha, how long did she take? I have no idea. How long did she pause and say, wait a minute, I got to get my hanky out? Was it difficult for her to verbally express what had happened? Maybe she couldn't say much more than, thank you. Thank you so very much. They are all full, and there are a bunch of them. Now what should I do? So Elisha tells him, verse 7, go sell the oil and pay the debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. She goes and sells the oil. Imagine this. She says, I don't know how it was. Let's just say she has a little stand there and she's selling the oil. She's got all those things and someone comes over and they need to buy oil. So they got their empty vessel and she grabs one of those empty vessels and she pours it in there. And as she's poured it in there, she's thinking back, oh, God is good. Sells it, gets the money. Thank you very much. Next one comes by. She grabs, oh, God is good. I mean, this is just going on and on and on. Okay, now she's got the money. That's a beautiful story. The story's not over. Why? The creditor has come. The creditor has come. Okay, now the creditor's already talked with her. The creditor has threatened her. I'm going to take your two boys. Pay me what you owe me. Okay, well now she has it. So now she's got to go to the creditor's house or wherever he's at. So she goes to where the creditor's at. And you may. Hey, I was just at your house a few days ago. You, what happened? Glad you asked. You're not going to believe this, but I went to the man of God. And the man of God told me to go borrow vessels. You should have seen the faces of my neighbors when I went to their houses. Not a few. And I went into my house. My boys are right here. They're witnesses. And I don't. Story's still not over. Now she's got all these empty vessels again. borrowed. So now she's walking back to the neighbor's house. And can you imagine the neighbors? I don't know if you have any neighbors like the neighbors that we have where we live. I mean, they're looking out the window. They want to know what everything that's going on. And so here she comes. Open up the door. Here's your empty vessel. Wait a minute. Don't go so fast. Not so fast. You know that day that you came over here and you asked to borrow empty vessels? You know, I kind of didn't really want to give you any, let you borrow them because, well, what did you need them for? Glad you asked. She gets to go to every neighbor, and the neighbors are going to be asking, they're inquisitive, what's going on, what's happening here? And everywhere she goes, she gets to tell them what God did for her. God saved our souls from hell, folks. We're saved, we're on our way to heaven. And we can share the blessings of God with others, go to others and tell them what God has done for us, so that they can experience also the salvation and the blessing of God in their lives. Telling one after another, after another, after another. But it all started with what she had. And God blessed it. And God used it. A church that gives what they have. And God blesses it. And God multiplies it. And God uses it like you couldn't even imagine. When the missionaries come back and they talk about people that have gotten saved and strange circumstances and all kinds of things that have happened on the mission field. And why? Because the church is just like Faith Baptist Church. Got a vision. You know what? God can take what we have. He can use it. Bless it. Multiply it for the furtherance of the gospel. But folks, it's up to us to respond to God and do what He would have us to do. What hast thou? God took what she had and blessed it and used it to bless the poor widow woman, her two boys, the creditor, her neighbors, and all the people that bought oil from her. Remember, it starts with what you have, but it doesn't end there. You are to grow in faith. Your faith is to be increased. Listen, the widow woman's faith was increased because she gave what she had. Her two boys' faith would be increased as well. And we could go on and on, but what about you? After hearing the Word of God, has your faith increased? Do you believe God is still the God of the impossible? You know, things are tighter this year. Things are different. And I'm not in the same economic situation as I was last year. I think I'm going to have to give a little bit less. Hey, God can still bless and multiply and use what we have. What hast thou? Give it to God. Asking God to bless it and to multiply it and to use it for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Father, thank you for your mercy and your kindness. And the fact of the matter is, Father, that all of us are here tonight that are saved. We're a product of missions one way or another. Someone giving, someone going, and all telling. Father, help us to do what you would have us to do. Touch our hearts. Speak to our hearts in a way that only you can speak to them. Father, we have a story to tell. And we have opportunity. Help us to tell it and to use the opportunities that you've given us. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I'd like to ask a few questions before Pastor comes. Is there someone here tonight that would say, Brother Norton, God spoke to my heart. God spoke to my heart. Would you pray for me? Is there someone, would you slip your hand up real quick? Okay. Lord bless you. Lord bless you. Lord bless you. Lord bless you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Is there someone that would say, you know, hey, I see that. I see how God can use what we have. And how God will use that and God will increase my faith. Brother Norton, would you pray for me? That's what God did in my heart and my life tonight. Would you pray for me? Is there someone like that here tonight? Okay, Lord bless you. Lord bless you. Lord bless you. Is there someone that would say, Brother Norton, missions, I haven't really prayed about this, what God would have me to give, but now I realize this is a serious thing. And with the time that's left of this missions conference, I'm going to pray and ask God to show me what He can entrust me with to give to missions this year. Brother Norton, would you pray for me? Is there someone like that here this evening? Okay? Okay. All right, with head bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to ask Pastor to come.
Increase our faith. And a message like that will do it if we'll let it. We have to let it. We have to receive it. You know, I don't think a statistical, analytical mind that has to have it all broken down in percentages and facts and figures has an easy time with stories like that. How many times have we said, I don't know how it happens, but somehow I don't miss what I give. And in most cases, end up with more than what I gave. I don't know how it happens. Because it's the God of heaven. Increase our faith. Small increase, medium increase, large increase, but increase our faith. Let's ask God to do that in our hearts as we get ready to give to missions this coming year. Stand together, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, ladies are playing, and you obey the Lord tonight. Speak to your heart. Tremendous. Absolutely tremendous. Lord, increase my faith. Thank you.